Good Monday. Today is September the 8th, and you're listening to My Farm. Well, today we're going to get an update on EHD, that is epizootic hemorrhagic disease, something that has been chronic in deer lately, and now it's been detected in a beef animal in Meigs County. We're going to get an update from the Director of Agriculture as well as the state veterinarian on what the current status is. We'll be back with that and more after this message from our sponsor.
Sponsored by Seed Consultants, simply the best value in the seed industry. Learn more at seedconsultants.com.
We're going to start off this Monday morning talking about epizootic hemorrhagic disease, or otherwise known as EHD. It's something that has impacted the deer population tremendously, and now we have one confirmed case in cattle down in Meigs County. We're going to get an update from Ohio Department of Agriculture Director Brian Baldridge and State Veterinarian Dennis Summers about the current status.
You know, we had a test that came in positive on one cow. And keep in mind, as Dr. Summers will lead into, multiple positive tests for some other things as well on that cow. And
we know that EHD is something that we see, as the director mentioned, 20 years ago, 19 years ago, when I started practicing, we still saw EHD. It's normal for us to see a few cases every year of EHD in cattle. Cattle are able to be infected with the virus. It's not discriminate from deer to cattle. But cattle tend to manifest the disease differently than deer do. Typically in deer, you see it as acute death, right? That's why it gets the name epizootic hemorrhagic disease. So it does cause a profound vasculitis and bleeding of the capillaries and arteries and veins and deer. But in cattle, it's not quite as significant. It doesn't usually cause high degrees of mortality. It's not known for having a propensity for abortions within a herd. But cows can get sick, and that's normally how we would see it.
Now, as we mentioned, predominantly we've been hearing about this in the deer herd, and a lot of dramatic pictures and conversations have been had. But in the big picture, maybe not as concerning as we once thought. Clint McCoy, who's a deer biologist with the Ohio Department of Wildlife, tells us more.
So there's no real accurate count of mortality. It's a relative measure, and the relative measure is saying that it's a pretty significant event in that part of the state. So we would expect to see a pretty heavy reduction in harvest in those counties this fall, unfortunately, for those that are hunting there.
And we'll be sure to stay on top of it if there are any new developments in this story as we go into the fall. Stay tuned. We'll be back with more after this message from our sponsor.
Williamson Crop Insurance, home of Decision Max. Decision Max allows you a simple solution to analyze your operation and make informed marketing and crop insurance decisions to mitigate your risks. Manage your whole operation in one place with the ability to blend counties, marketing, and insurance coverage to give a complete overview of your operation. Williamson Crop Insurance, protecting the Eastern Corn Belt since 1980. Learn more at cropcoverage.com.
Thanks, Joe. Joining me today is Barry McGraw. Barry is with Arable Research Labs. And Barry, a lot of neat things going on in your industry. First off, let's talk a little bit about the exciting things going on in the southern part of the state right now with the new facility.
Yeah, we're very excited. Arable, we started in Delaware, Ohio at Ohio Wesleyan University with the focus of converting soybean or soybean products to soy bio-based products, consumer industrial products, and using wet chemistry or wet synthesis to do that. Now we're expanding to Southern Ohio, Shawnee State University. We signed an agreement with them to build a facility for us, and that'll be more chemical engineering, polymer processing. So now we're getting in kind of polymers or commodity type polymers, so large quantities, and how to utilize soy to convert those materials into polymers.
Let's talk about some of the successes that Arable has seen with some of the products that are now on the market that people may be familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, we have a really good relationship with Dynamic Green Products, and they're punching out the products. So we developed the chemistry, we developed the formulation, soy-based chemistry, and they kind of work on the other end, commercialization, regulatory, production, and then also they have a great agreement with Stanley Black & Decker, which is DeWalt brand, Craftsman brand. So a lot of our products will have a DeWalt label on it, a Craftsman label, and then recently Mac Tools. So we'll have saw a pallet of aerosolized Mac Tool multi-use kind of penetrant hit the market. So those are going to be distributed through all their dealers. And then just recently, Dynamic Green Products made a deal with Do It Best stores, all the hardware stores throughout the U.S. So not only are we developing these products for one brand, but it's also going to be in multiple stores, multiple, even Home Depot, the DeWalt brand.
Well, it's neat. These are also products that farmers are using, too, on their operations. So they're growing it, they're using it, they're creating market demand, and obviously it's out there for the larger consumer population.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole purpose, creating demand for soybean farmers' product. And it's just an added bonus when you can develop products that they can use on their farm, whether it's a bar and chain oil, multi-use oil, engine oil, and so forth.
Well, another thing I think maybe folks don't hear a lot about, but a neat program you have is an internship program. And every year you guys bring a few interns in. Talk about where some of those interns come and the skills they gain in working with Arable.
Yeah, we had two interns this summer, which are great. One came from the University of Dayton. Mm-hmm. The other one, the University of Xavier in Cincinnati area. So Blaine had an ag background and just added more chemical engineering and just added kind of skills that we needed through the summer, and then skills he could use in school and finishing up. So lately we've been really looking at interns that could be potential hires for Arable. So they were very good interns, and we look forward to just seeing what they do in the future.
Neat. It's neat you can generate that kind of pipeline. For those unaware, how many people are on staff at Arable?
Right now, about 12 staff. Kind of a mix between chemists, chemical engineers, polymer scientists, but yeah.
And for those not familiar, really the whole goal is to be doing that front leg research that in the past Soybean Council had to fund other organizations to do, correct?
Yeah, I mean, the whole idea of Arable Research Lab is efficiency. So efficiency, product development, and quickness. Before the soybean industry was funding other companies or research development corporations or universities, things were getting done, mm-hmm. products were being developed. We've taken it to the next level in speed, efficiency, the quantity of research we can do with the same dollar.
Well, and that's obviously being recognized in the industry. As I've heard, we have other states now helping fund some of the research, correct?
Yeah, so Ohio founded Arable Research, and it was fully funded by the Ohio Soybean Council. Now we have 7 states. Mm-hmm. Illinois, Iowa, Missouri, Michigan, North Dakota, and Kentucky, and then Nebraska is also thinking about joining.
Good deal. Again, my guest today is Barry McGraw, talking about all the good work being done on behalf of Ohio's farmers with Arable Research Lab. Barry, thanks for your time.
Great. Thanks.
That's what's making agricultural news on my farm. For my 102.7 WMYW, I'm Dusty Sonnenberg. You have a great day.